Parashas Nitzavim. You have here a small parasha which is a very shakti on the game as well. The mitzvah that I'm telling you today, it's not, the word nifla means something that is unattainable, abstruse, obscure, like the word pella, which means something which is we can't even think about. But lo yirchoike here, and it's not distant, not distant. So the pasuk now explains itself. Lo yibashemayim hi leima miyalon hashemayim yikochelonu v'yashmeinu yisavinasena. So it's not b'shemayim that we say somebody's going to have to go up and bring it to us. V'lo yimeva layam hi leima miyavolon al eva yam v'yikochelonu v'yashmeinu yisavinasena. That's it. So, complete passion in itself. The psukim, first of all, they're very, very hard to understand what we're talking about. It's not clear. In Kamitzvah Zois, many Rishonim learn that it's going on the klolius of mitzvah, the mitzvah satayr in general. Some places it's mashma with a special knesh for Talmud Torah, and the Ramban famously says it's talking about tshuva, and it's therefore referring back to the parasha before. So what the mitzvah is exactly that we're talking about is not clear, but he says loy nifleis loy rechoykehi. Well, of course, it's given to us. It's not something. I mean, the Moshe Rabbeinu just finished giving the Torah, and then it tells us. It's not mashma that it's simply a sort of a poetic expression of it's not over there, it's not over there. Leiba shemayim hi means, I mean, leiba shemayim leimeva yam are two different oifanim in where a person would have an issue with Torah. Leiba shemayim hi, aloy meiv layam. You know, it's two separate aspects of Torah that a person might feel that it's not shayach to him. I would venture to guess that this is going back to the beginning of the pasuk. Loy niflesi v'loy rechoika. There's one problem of nifles, there's one problem of rechoika, and then there's a keneged that. The loy nifleis is loy bashamayim hi, and the rechoika is me'ev hayam. But we need to identify what those two inyanim are. So what are those two aspects of Torah that there's a problem of it being bashamayim me'ev hayam, which is keneged nifleis and rechoika? Also, it says loy bashamayim leima miyal hashamayim yikochelonu. Well, why would that be the solution? Loy bashamayim leima miyav alonu. I can understand the pasuk is saying that you don't think that it's very far, and you have to make a big effort to get to it. Rashi says, "Shilo hoyso b'shemayim hoyiso tzorich lalis achar lamda." You would have to go there. That's the right. In other words, the opposite. The contrast is. Don't think you have to travel very far to learn Torah. Why would I think that I need to send an agent? Mi yalalon ashamayma, and mi yavalon evayam. Besides which, Moshe Taka did go up to Shemayim and bring it down. It's very clear. He's the one who went up, and he's the one who brought it down to us. So certainly, once upon a time, it had to be somebody. But the pasuk is telling us, don't think you need to send somebody. Mi yalon, mi yava. Why isn't the contrast with I'd have a chiv to do it myself. I'd like Rashi's mashma. No matter how hard it is, I would have to go and get it. The Chazal over here the Medrash Rabbi brings a drasha from this pasuk, another inyan that we learn from this pasuk. It says that to be made evloy shel Moshe, there was nishkach halachis from. Halachis of 3,000 halachis were nishkach. Halachis were nishkach from Torah. So they asked Yeshua to they asked Yeshua to go and to bring them. They asked Yeshua, they said, Sha'al, we want you to go and ask in Shemayim what it is. So he answered, Leiba Shemayim. They then turned to Shmuel. So it's not clear in Chazal if it was a second tkufa when it says that later on was still Ben Knazda was Nishkach. And the Medrash sort of brings them together. Not clear, it's probably referring to a different tkufa. And he said, Eila mitzvahs, mikan she'ein anovi reshoi l'chadish davar. So we have two psukim that we're not allowed to ask a Navi, or that a Navi can't tell us mitzvahs. One is that a Navi, it says Eila mitzvahs, that a Navi can't be mechadish anything. And then Leiba Shemayim hi. What's the difference in the two psukim? In other words, these are two limudim, and about not accepting mitzvahs from a Navi. Why do I need these two limudim for? What are they? What does each one add to it? The Gemara is the mashmos, and the Gemara is Eila mitzvahs is the halacha that a Navi came mechadish. You could even ask that if the Navi came to be mechadish something, a Navi came with a 614th mitzvah, we understand that that's relevant. But here, Be'etzim, the Navi was simply rechecking Be'emes, he wasn't being mechadish anything. So in Eila mitzvahs, l'chur, that's not enough to tell it to me. And so Bal Korchach, Leiba Shemayim is telling me why the Navi can't. One would think that in Eila Mitzvah Shainova Shoy L'Chadish Dava could have been learned as meaning only he can't add to the Torah. But when he's simply coming to reconstruct the Torah that's already there, maybe Navi would work. And Leiba Shemayim is filling in that gap. So what is Leiba Shemayim? So what's the difference between Leiba Shemayim and Eila Mitzvah? What are the two Shroshim of these two inyanim? The Rashi here says, "Ki korev elecha dova." It says, "Hatoyre nitna lechem biksav ubal peh." It should have said, "Ki korev elecha hatoyre nitna lechem kvar." That would include whatever. What's the kneitro via hatoyre nitna lechem biksav ubal peh? And if the Torah was given just Biksav, or just Balper, Kikor Velecha, the way Rashi is learning it, means it's already been given to you. You have it. So where's the mokum here to say the Ksav Malper? It's, if I tell somebody asks me Shaila, and tell them, why don't you look it up? You have a library of Sfarim, and the answer's there. There's no point to go through and to enumerate, you have this Sefer, this Sefer, this Sefer, this Sefer. That's what I'm saying. Kikorav Elecha Adavit should have said, HaTorah Kvar Nitna Lechem. That's the way it should have really said it. So, the Mashmos in Rashi is that the Kikorav Elecha is something that shayach to the Baal Peh rather than in other words, the Baal Peh is really the Hadgasha here. Two more in the Kudus. There's a very interesting Targum Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi is a variation of Yonis Benazil, not clear exactly what's a variation, Girsa, whatever, a different medrash. But Al Kopanim, it's a Mekobodika medrash, and the Targum Yerushalmi says, Loiba Shemaim hi oiraisa, Lemema alvaimon in Havalon chad ke Moshe Nevid, Yisak Lashmai v'yisalonu. Halavai, we would have somebody like Moshe Ben Akab Shemaim. Good. V'loi meva yayam, rabohi, Oiraisa lemeima alvai havalon chad ki yoyne nevia de yechus leum ki yama rabo v'yesi yasalon halavai moisher halavai would have like a yoyne novi who went into the yam. Moisher Rabbeinu going up Mishmaim bring the Torah is very clear what the example is, and it's very clear why we want something like that. Moshe Zemes Terasemes, and Moshe went up to Shemayim and brought down the Torah to us. That fits 100%. A Yoin Anovi going into the Yam, he wasn't going to bring Torah, he wasn't crossing the ocean, nothing about it. It happens to be, we need somebody who went into the ocean, we found Yoin. What's Yoinus? What's his shayachted? V'loimen yamavir reisa lemeima alvai havlon chad ki yoinen nevia de yechuzum ki yamiraba v'yesi asalam. What's the dung of Yoinan Nabi? And finally, the solution of what one needs, it says, it says, so Yonason Azul says, Tanyonason says, Arum Korav Lechoin Pisgoma Bebeis Medrashechoin, you have a very, very clear, you have it very clear, very close to you. Where is it? In the Beis Medrash. Psochu Pumchoin, Lemavahagin Behoin, open up your mouths to learn Torah, briru libchoin, lemabid yasayin, and be mevari your heart to do the Torah. So the kikarav alechadav moed, the beficha b'levav lasayisay, is explaining where it's karav. So basically, the pasuk is telling you you're not there yet, but it's very close. You don't need to go there. And because of the fichel v'afalaseisa, he says is to learn and open up your mouth and so on. Now Chazal dash different places. The learning with your mouth is bringing out the words are important and so on and so forth. So let's try a little bit to be oimid on the parasha here. It's a certain summing up. It's Moshe Rabbeinu is summing up the parasha to Klal Yisrael, is summing up Torah in a certain sense, and he's saying that there's a havamina about Torah that's wrong, and here is the key to understanding Torah in Karav Elah Hadav Moed Befir V'Hasayse. Let's understand what the Nikud is and so on. It says that these parashas were given on the last day of Moshe Rabbeinu's Anhaga. This is the last kuf of his Anhaga, and it goes into the gedder of this was the day that they could be Oymer Adas Rabbi. The Pashup Shad is, it just means we know it more clearly. It takes 40 years to understand clearly and so on. And if the 40 years, I can hold you accountable for every detail because now you understand it. But it's a lot deeper than that. There are things the things that a person does and the things that a person follows and the derech he goes on can be dictated from outside. In other words, a person can be told what to do. A person has two kalim of dealing of things that point the road to go. One is his seichel and his das that say, what ought to I do? And then there's the person's what we'll call his regish, the person's heart, where the person himself wants to do this, where the person himself feels fulfilled in doing this, where it feeds a person's hargoshes and so on. A person, Torah itself, has on the surface of it, or can have, two problems to a person. Torah itself is something which is ruchnistic. It's very ruchnistic. It comes from a world that's kule likus. Person is far from it. And therefore, there's one problem of Torah being mufla from a person. Mufla means not understandable. Something which a pella means it does not fit any mehalchi seichel. I mean, the sun and the moon rising and setting is a tremendous it's tremendous, but it's not a pella because it fits a certain structure of seichel that we have built in. It fits a certain pattern about gravity and about motion and so on and so forth, and therefore it sits comfortably well. Things that are called nisim, that are called a pella, are things that don't sit in, on seichel. They don't fit human seichel. That's called a pella. Torah, which is coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, l'chura should not really fit human seichel, and it should be something that we do because we depend on the person who, on the person, the one who understands better than us, that is probably right. So just like a person will follow the advice of somebody who he recognizes as being much bigger. So someone tells me, who I respect tremendously as very, very knowledgeable in financial matters, and he tells me invest in this or that, it seems strange to me. If I trust the person and I trust his intelligence, I say, okay, it's a daitoy, and I'll do that. But I'm doing that b'teiras pella. I'm doing that because it's the other person's advice. The same thing, if a big tzaddik, somebody that, who I have tremendous admiration for his sense of right and wrong, tells me this is the right thing to do. This is tov, this is ra. I'm not ruchnistic, I don't have these feelings, but I can say, well, since this person is so much more sensitive, so much more in tune with what's right and wrong, I'll do it. So a person has the ability to relate to things in that way. Those two things are called mufla and rochik. Rochik, the pasuk says in Mishlei, that toiv shochin karev me'ach rochik, that a shochin who is close is better than a brother who's far, because kirva and richuk most specifically describe a person's, let's call it hagoshes halev, a person's halev. Kiruv hadas means that I have strong empathy for a person. The person's personality and feelings resonate with me. That's kiruv hadas. Richuk in that sense is I can't relate to the person. The measures, the axis for mufla is shamayim. In other words, high. We speak of something, wow, that went way above my head. That's called something that is high above me in the world of seichel. The seichel is on top of us, and that which is went right over my head is beyond me. That's mufla, and that's bashamayim. And then there's a second one. There's the darga of richuk, which is something that's close to me. It's like by hugger. It says she didn't want. She couldn't emotionally handle the feeling of Yishmael dying, so she was harchek im tach v'keshes. She distanced herself. That's specifically speaking about emotion. Something which is close to me is the shochen karev is lives my life, and we see it like that. We tend to bond with a neighbor in the sense we share a life and we build up an empathy. And if somebody is rochek, then we have a little. Then we have less shaychus, even though theoretically he's a brother and we should be very close. But he's far. The distance, Eiver Hayam, means that it's not. Something is within. It's in my household. Something is in my city. Something is my medina. Medina's Hayam is a remarkable rochot. That's what we learned. Even though Kol Chutzlaretz is called Medina's Hayam. But according to Rashi, but Medina's Hayam says means that's what it means. It means far places. It's not only do I have to travel. I really can't travel all that far. So Moshe Rabbeinu until today, Moshe Rabbeinu was Isha Lekim. Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who was Shayach to Shemayim and Shayach to Aretz. For him, Torah was self. He comes down and he's mitzave us. And he tells us what to do, and we do it because, even though we don't understand it, we trust Moshe, and even though we don't have the hargashas of kedusha, Moshe's kedusha resonates with us, and both elements of it, we do it because of that. That's where Torah was until this day. Now's the time when Moshe Rabbeinu is. This is the Gemar of Kabbalah Satira. It's the Gemar of a Kabbalah Satira because the Oymer Al Das Rabbi is happening now. Oymer Al Das Rabbi doesn't mean to figure out what your Rebbe said. And we've spoken many times. The concept of Das, Bina and Chachma, are information and computation, extrapolation, logical extrapolation, and so on. So if somebody tells me a complicated Shaka V'Tarya, if you say like this, then you have to say like this. And if you say like this, will have to be like this. Now, could be I don't follow it. And could be it takes me a long time to figure it out. But just a question, it's not a question of time, it's a question of just going through the calculations. A long, complex arithmetic problem is not deeper. An arithmetic problem that has 23 digits that I have to divide by 22 digits, it's not a deeper problem. It's just more complex. That's all. It's just more steps, and that's all it is. That's not the Arboim Shana of Prezant Oymer Das Rabbi. But Das is something that we would call in colloquially a judgment call, a sense of something, a way of looking at something, a perspective. That's something that takes time to seep in. In the Rebbe-Talmud relationship, the Das is something that gradually seeps in, and on that Chazal have said that there's our Boyim Shana is the Zman, that your Das, Oymer Al Das Rabbi, means he begins to think and understand like his Rav. So the Torah starts with accepting the material. This is Bracious Teilein Kol Yisrael Zohar Kodesh Baruch Hu told us. It's the Torah Sheval Peh. It's also the Torah Sheval Peh in the sense of the facts of what tzitzis look like, what sukkah looks like, and so on. There's the Shaka V'Tarya that, you say this is applies to this, applies that, so on and so forth. And then underlying it is the Das of Torah, the perspective, the understanding, and the sense of Torah, both intellectually and emotionally, that takes Arboim Shana to transfer. Moshe Rabbeinu tells Klal Yisrael, because we're now at this turning point, Torah is no longer muflis or rechayka. We ask the question, why does it say we won't have who to send? We could understand the Torah would say, listen, you'd have to go in Shemayim, like Rashi says. The answer is, it's not a question only of thinking about it. When I give you a complex, and when I give you a long and difficult arithmetic problem, the solution is spend time and break it and do it. It's not deeper than a simple problem. It just takes more time and effort. It's the same thing. But when you're talking about something that's fully in Das, I just don't get it. I don't get it. I won't get it. And I need to rely on somebody else. And that's why, if Torah was not Karav Adava, then all I would say is that I need to rely on somebody else. Mi Yikochena, mi Yavar, and mi Yala Shemaima. That's where I would have to go from it, because if it's rochok and if it's muflis, then if it's a type of idea that's too deep, a child who's young and immature will never understand a concept of a mature person. It's not a question, even if he's brilliant, even if he's explained 100 times. He just doesn't get it. That's the Havamin of Torah. So Moshe says, at this point, it has changed. And now there's a Karav Elecha Dovah Me'oid Beficho B'Lvavcha La'Saisei. The Moshe says, it's already part of you. And now the question is, so how do I get to it? The answer is, Beficho B'Lvavcha La'Saisei. We'll go with the Yerushalmi with the Targum here. Hoitzi Beficho. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a person a koyach of peh, which is an ability to communicate. That's the surface of koyach of peh. On a deeper level, the koyach of peh is not there only to, for instance, when I speak to somebody, the significance of my articulation of it, my accurate articulation of what I'm trying to say, and my elegant articulation, are there for the purpose of the other one. In order for him to understand what I mean, it has to be very clear. It has to be structured. In order for me to influence the other person, it needs to be elegant, eloquent. It needs to be passionate. But that's not the ultimate tachlis of it. In order for me to understand something, I need to develop it to the point of articulation. In order for me to feel something, I need to enunciate it. That's as long as it is bekoach, as long as it's there as a potential, it hasn't realized the two. Let's take the two examples. In terms of understanding, a lot of times we hear something and we feel we understood it. But unless we actually work it through, and we realize we didn't understand it. Later when somebody tests us, we also ask questions. Why? Because what we absorbed was sort of a bakoach of it. It was the potential of it was there, but until it hasn't been worked out and fleshed out, the understanding is not yet there. More than that, in the world, more surprising, the world of feeling something. When somebody comes to us with a pitch for tzedakah, for helping somebody, rarely is the person informing me of something I don't know. When somebody comes to me and says, I want you to help Reuven or Shimon or Levi, but I know that he needs help. Is the person being mechadish to me the Mamari Chazal about helping people and doing good things? Very rarely somebody comes with a nice Chazal they didn't hear before, was close to it. I mean, So what's the Chiddush Advar? The answer is, because so long as it hasn't been put to Dibur, so long as it hasn't been fleshed out and given a body, it exists in potential, but I don't identify with it. It's there that I could flesh it out, but I don't identify with it. So the Torah says, Beficho b'lvavcha la'soysoy, means that the peh is the shayrish in the muck, and that's what the Targum Yonison says, that the person could be memalel, befiv. A person, as a person says it, uses the koyach ha-peh in order to bring it out, that's where it's karev elecha dove ma'oid. The ma'oid is that. I once heard pshat from Moshe Shapiro. He once said the word ma'oid is strange when used in the Torah. When used in the Torah about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lamosha, it says vayalakim is kol sha'asa v'nei toiv ma'oid. Now, what is the word ma'oid? HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with absolutes. You know, for us, every person is not, no person is absolute. So I could say, Ktsas Toiv, Harbe Toiv, Toiv Ma'oit. It's a description, it's a qualifier, because the word absolute terms never apply to us. So we grade things in certain grades, and we say things are somewhat good, quite good, very good, extremely good. Fine. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if something is described as Tov, whatever Elokim made is Tov Me'od. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can make things, the word Tov is not absolute in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. So what's Tov Me'od? What does that mean? Someone said that the word Me'od means, it says Me'od is Yetzirah, Tov Me'od is Yetzirah, Yamamisa. So he said it's like the word ma'oidcha. When we speak about ma'oidcha, meaning all your possessions, the word ma'oid means the potential you have to do something. Just like chol vav chol nafsho chol ma'oidecha means with every one of your abilities, in a sense, with every one of the tools that you have available to use, the assets that you have available to use. Yetzirah is something, this world is toiv in a ma'oid sense. In other words, it's not absolutely good as is, but it has the absolute toiv built in as potential. That's the ma'oid. Means that everything is in a person, but it's there in the ma'oit form. And therefore the kli that is most significant to make that transition is the pe. We said, we looked at the Targum Yerushalmi, that the Targum Yerushalmi is something where he speaks about Yoina going down into the Yam to bring his Torah. Very, very, very hard to understand. I'd like to understand the remez. If you take a look in the parish of Yoina, we lay Machta Yoina on Yom Kippur for a reason. Yoina went down the Yam, and in the Yam, and over there he says, you know, Dafafuni Mayim, and you know, when he felt the final grip on his nefesh, when he felt that everything was gone, that's when he opened up HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The tefillah of Yoina in the mamakim of the Yam was a tefillah from the mamakim of Yoina. Yoina had issues with what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was doing, however Chazal explained, and it was only when he got to the mamakim of his own nefesh that it came out. The mamakim of Yoina that Yoina is talking about, that we're talking about, the mamake yam is the zelum asev, the mamake nefesh, and when the water choked him, and gripped him in a stranglehold, that's when he opened up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It says after that it'll be mashmiya toida bekoil. I don't remember exact lashon pasuk. In other words, now it's going to come out with koil, the toida HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, let's understand the Nakuda and let's talk a little about it. The first thing is, Torah came to us in two phases. One phase is through Moshe. And Be'etzim, we're doing things because Moshe is the one who understands it, and Moshe is the one who feels it. Torah is distant from us. Where Moshe is Isha Lekim, it says Chatziv Lekim, Chatziv Ish, we're not Isha Lekim. At best, we are Nashim. So we have no Sheiches. Torah to us is a distant ideal, and we are forced to do it. We would like to do it, but it's not something that is within us. And that was the Torah of Arboim Shana. It couldn't be Sheich to us, because it takes Arboim Shana to become part of the person. On the day that Arboim Shana on the day on the day when Torah is Matan Torah is finalized, is the day when Adam's Omer al Das Rabbi, and we are able to identify with the Torah, both intellectually and emotionally, both in the Das Rabbi. It's not Bashamayim anymore. It's not Mufla. It's something understandable, and it's no longer Meivayam. But it's not automatic, and it's not upfront the way it is, because we do have Bechira, and we are very, very raw, and we have the possibility of doing it, but not but we're not there. The Tzivui, we asked the question about the two psukim that I used to tell us that a Navi Kiyami Mecharish Dava. I think that the two tzivuyim complement each other. If a Navi was able to be Mechadish Dava, then there's no taina of Kikar V'lach Dava V'lach Lasoisei. In the Torah that we have, it's sad to say Kikar V'lach Dava Moid. But in a new Torah, I can't say that. You know, if somebody tells me, you know, if I was learning one language and I learned it a lot, and I'm trying to write a paragraph, and someone, I ask them for help, the person says, you should already be able to do it. From everything you've learned, you should be able to do it. Work. But if it's a new language, I can't obviously do it. So if a Navi could be Mechadish Adav, there wouldn't be a taina of the Befichel Vavchel Asoisei. So the first thing is, so therefore there's a pasuk that says, Eila mitzvahs, that this is it. Eina v'shoi chash dover, there are no new mitzvahs. Everything is as was, and there can't be new ones. But then there's a second problem. What happens if the Navi is reconstructing the mitzvahs? On that, we have the klal of Kikar v'lech adov v'yitvichel asoisei. It's sort of a mitzvah essay, let's call it, that not that we get the information from outside, but that we use what we have to be oimid on the rest. Torah is built in a way, because once we identify with the process, then you can be meivin dava mitoich dava. No matter how much Torah shrank, we can extrapolate out, both in the Torah aspect and then the lev aspect. Both of them, we can extrapolate outwards. So the two psukim sort of complement each other. One is telling me you can't get new things, and one is telling me you should try to get it from what was there before. You should on the things that we had already. The answer will always be from within, not from without. That's what happens at this stage when we become identified with it. The Torah tells us that since it's given to us as potential, it's by us, but potential, a person needs to do a process of bringing it out. And this comes out to, and this comes down to, I guess, the lemais of our avodah. The working on things is the koyach of peh. Torah is always associated with peh, with dibur, rather than machshava. The koyach of peh, in its complete sense, is not only physically saying it. It means fleshing out, articulating, verbalizing everything that we know as potential. Everything that's sort of a zip file in our minds is something that has to be fleshed out and give life, or else it's worthless. So when a person learns, the problem is we're very passive learners in terms of learning. We listen, hopefully, and we get the idea. And a person walks and says, I got it pretty much. And that's the beginning. That's not knowing. Knowing means going over it, and in a very proactive way, spelling it out to yourself. The first thing is to spell it out to yourself. I'm not talking about chazaria, talking about spelling out to yourself. This is what Tosfos says. This is the problem. These are the possibilities of answering. These are the weak points of this. These are the strong points of this. This seems to be the maskana of it. Unless the person does it longhand, the person doesn't really know what he's doing. It's interesting. In a lot of problems in math, you can do it longhand, and there's a formula to do it with. The formulas are quick and short, but you don't really understand why the answer came out from the formula. It's a formula. You put it in, and you get the answer. But what were you doing exactly? Why were you doing this step? Why were you doing this step? Why this step? When a person does it longhand, the person understands step by step. He understands it. It's a world of difference between those two ways. As long as our learning, as long as we don't force ourselves to spell out the steps mentally and physically, definitely with your mouth, it's definitely it makes it real. We still don't understand. And the second part, that's a lot harder than the first part. It's something that we kind of look strange at. The Derech HaMusa that we have, that we give lip service to, that everybody today learns Musa, and we saw something about Musa into the world. Musa, what do you bring into the world? People, Sifrei Yira, this forum that say you should do mitzvahs because Hashem is great and you're nobody. I think the Torah has a lot of Musa. I think Devarim is a Musa sefer. What was the Mechadish? Rabbi Saul Salanter was the first sefer to write that. He said you should learn it. What do people do when the Mavis said Devarim? And when people learn Haftiris, well, what are they all about? They're all telling you to do the right things. So what's the point of it? What was the Chiddush that shook the world and changed the world and this and that? Rabbi Saul's point was, I guess if I can sum it up in two words, is Sfosayim Dolkos. Rabbi Yisrael said, all of these things that you know are still rochik. They're still me'eva yam. The reason, why do we do averis? We don't believe there's Hashem? I don't think that's the problem. We don't believe that Hashem said not to do this? I don't think so. We don't believe there's a schar and there's a oinish? I don't think that that's the issue. The issue is, but it's somewhere, it's not an active file in our minds. It's not something we give much, we flesh it out. It's not something we think about. We don't ever imagine ourselves standing in a Yom HaDin and being asked, how did you do this? And why were you doing that? And how could you be so mean? And how could you be so coarse and vulgar? I don't think we ever picture that. Because when we are in a situation where somebody calls for a task, it's very, very uncomfortable. It's traumatic. I don't think, you know, people think about the fires of Gehenna. I don't think the fires are the problem. I think the Yom HaDin is a much stronger problem for someone who's a little sensitive. We tend to think nicely of ourselves. Nobody thinks we're perfect, but we think we sort of grade ourselves in all modesty, like a 95 plus, sort of, you know, nobody thinks it's 100, but a 95. And then when you're called to task, not the things that Kadosh Baruch Hu expects, the Tikkun Chatzos, the things, you're supposed to be a nice person, you know, the guy that you didn't like, you know how to ignore well, and you know that he needed you, but you sort of elegantly moved away, and so on. We understand, you know, but we don't ever flesh it out. It's for same dolkos. It's kikar v'lechadove me'oid. It's only ma'oit. It's very close to you, but it's potential. And beficha v'chalasoyse, there needs to have that step. That's what Rashi says, I gave it to Yisrael b'ksav and I gave it to Yisrael b'al peh. You have the ability to speak it out, to bring it out. That's the dadgosh and Rashi to Yisrael b'al peh. If this one instrument, if there's one tool that I could think of that would change our lives, is the understanding that Avodah is through peh. Peh means bringing it out and verbalizing, thinking to yourself. Koyach HaPeh starts with yourself. And if a person tends to take ideas, whatever person learns, and he learns to flesh it out, to think it through, Rabbi Saul's Sfasayim Dolkos were physical, he wanted people to learn it b'peh, but the point was, because when you say something out, you really live it. It's not an idea that you can sort of put in the back of the mind. It's if a person is conscious of what he's saying. Same thing is true with davening. It doesn't require saying things out loud. I don't mean screaming. I don't mean yelling. It's not over a drive. I'm talking about if when a person says the things and he listens to the words he's saying, not more than that, it's a whole different world. So many times a person, a speaker, takes a point in davening and he says something about it and we're awed. These are words we say every day, three times a day. Sometimes the person mechadash a pshat. Okay, but a lot of times not mechadash a pshat. But those words come alive in a way because you never live them. Those words always registered as sort of marks, not in the mind, not real fleshed out ideas. If there's something that we can use, work on, be mekabel, it's the beficha vachal asoisei. There's in a certain sense the age we're at. It's an age when we begin to mature. There's a certain transition until a certain age. A person, at best, this is my rebbeim, my special people. They know what's right. I need to do what they said. That's the best we can do when we're not mature. As we're maturing, we either need to find it within ourselves or we'll discard it. That's the truth. If you weren't Oymer al Das Rabbi, then you're not going to do it. That has to click in. Aboyim Shana is a big schum, but in each tkufa has its erech. The tkufa that we in Yeshiva B'derchal are is that tkufa. It's the tkufa to understand Torah has to start transitioning as our understanding instead of our following what we're taught and told. We need to do it on the level of understanding, being able to take things we hear and to try to say it over to ourselves. What was the point? Where's it coming from? Why is it shver? What did he ask? To spell out each point as if you were speaking to somebody else, so that the pieces are there in full color and we understand every single piece of it. And we need to do it possibly even more so with the Bulvavcha aspect, with Me'evayam. As long as we don't open up the words, as long as they don't become words to us, and they're just Rosh Tevis, the Tzach Hadash Bachav, but they're not the words themselves, its impact on us is negligible. When we learn to take time and to think, imagine the things through, in pictures, in words and in pictures, that's when we start identifying with it emotionally. Torah is from a certain point, and in different ways, every year is at a certain point. Torah is no longer b'shamayim, it's no longer meivayam. And it's kikarev elecha adov me'oid, and the key to it is the fichol v'ofchol asoisei.